Good morning again. Good morning. Hey. One of the things that always amazes me, never ceases to amaze me as a pastor, is how in this little church that meets in a high school, how many incredibly wise and gifted and talented people we have. And really quick, while on the subject, can we give a round of applause for the band and all the vocalists and all the other people that are our musicians? Because it blows my mind how many phenomenal musicians we have in this church. I think it's just amazing. But we also have many, many wise people. And there's a reason that we have two pastors at this church. We've kind of always believed that no one person had all the answers. And so Curtis and I have very different stories and life experiences. And so we like sharing that voice. We like both sharing our lives and stories. We think that's important. But we also want to bring other people in on that as well, because we just have so many other voices that need to be heard in this church. And so today we have a special treat. Suzanne Parker Miller is going to be preaching today. And she has helped lead our children's ministry for the past few years. And she is ordained in the Moravian Church. And we had a fun conversation this week, because I'm always terrified I'm going to say Mennonite. And so I was like, just confirm that it's Moravian. She's like, yeah, like the cookies. So we're good. Moravian like the cookies. So I'm going to read scripture for her, and then she's going to come up and teach us, and it's going to be great. Today's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up, and I'll go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now, his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years, I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" The word of the Lord.
Am I on now? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I'm not used to the Britney Spears mic here, sorry. Good morning.
Good morning.
I do know people who make the cookies, but don't ask me to make the really thin, like paper thin cookies. I know where to buy them though. So I'm excited to be here with you this morning. Our Advent theme this morning is joy. When Curtis and CJ asked me a couple weeks ago about preaching, I was like, sure, that'd be great. I'm excited about it. Thank you. Honored. And then they told me that the theme was joy. And I had to laugh. Joy? Really? I haven't been feeling much joy this fall. It's been a tough couple of months, hadn't it? I've been feeling like a Grinch, if I had to be honest. And I doubt that I'm the only one. We have survived an ugly election season on both sides of the aisle. And to make matters worse, it wasn't over on November 8th like we had all hoped. I know I have been exhausted by the emotional energy that I have expended over it. On top of that, my family lost my father-in-law in October. So it's been a tough couple of months adjusting to this new reality and the loss that it brings. And I know for us looking forward to Christmas, it's going to be a tough holiday. I've heard many of you say that 2016 has just been a tough year. It's just one thing after another. We've lost many people that we look up to. We've had lots of just horrible disasters with the fires, the hurricane, all kinds of things. Joy has not been something I've been feeling much of lately. And I have a feeling I'm not alone. As I've spent the past few weeks thinking about joy for today's sermon, I had to go back to what joy actually is. I found a helpful quote from Henry Nouwen, who is a Dutch Catholic priest and prolific writer. He wrote over 40 books before he died in 1996, and he's known for his deep spirituality and his accessible theology. In the posthumous book, The Heart of Henry Nouwen, which was compiled from his best writings in honor of his 70th birthday, he wrote, "Joy is essential to spiritual life. Whatever we may think or say about God, when we are not joyful, our thoughts and words cannot bear fruit. Jesus reveals to us God's love so that his joy may become ours, and that our joy may be complete. Joy is the experience of knowing that you are unconditionally loved, and that nothing, sickness, failure, emotional distress, opposition or oppression, war, or even death cannot take that love away. Joy is not the same as happiness. We can be unhappy about many things, but joy can still be there because it comes from the knowledge of God's love for us. We are inclined to think that when we are sad, and we cannot be glad. But in the life of a God-centered person, sorrow and joy can exist together. That it isn't easy to understand, but when we think about some of our deepest life experiences, such as being present at the birth of a child or the death of a friend, great sorrow and great joy are often seen to be parts of the same experience. Often we discover joy in the midst of the sorrow. I remember the most painful times in my life as times in which I became aware of a spiritual reality much larger than myself. A reality that allowed me to live the pain with hope. I dare even say my grief was a place where I found joy. Still, nothing happens automatically in the spiritual life. Joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy. and keep choosing it every day. It is a choice based on the knowledge that we belong to God and have found God our refuge and our safety, that nothing, not even death, can take God away from us. I want to read that last part again. And I invite you to sit, take a deep breath, close your eyes if you'd like, and listen with your heart. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. It is a choice based on the knowledge that we belong to God and have found God our refuge and our safety, and that nothing, not even death, can take God away from us. We belong to God. God is our refuge. God is our safety. Nothing, not even death, can take God away from us. Each of us belongs to God. Nothing can change that reality. That's pure joy. In the 15th chapter of Luke's gospel this morning, we hear three stories. Well, in the chapter, we hear three stories about God choosing joy and celebrating the fact that we belong to God. The third one CJ read this morning for us, and there are two that come just before it. The beginning of Luke reads, beginning of Luke chapter 15 reads, "Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, 'This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them.' So he told this parable. Which of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or, what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is a joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Jesus here is telling stories, as he often did, these parables that were to teach a lesson to the listeners. God in the flesh, Jesus, not only eats with the tax collectors and sinners, but rejoices that they are gathered back into the flock together. He rejoices that they are no longer missing and are found. He rejoices that the son that was dead is alive and is able to join in the feast. Jesus' parable describes these people choosing joy in the midst of what could have been very bad things, the losing of a sheep, the losing a coin, or losing a son. These stories are not as much about the things that were lost, but the fact that whatever was lost has been found and is back where it belongs, in the community of God. By shifting my own thinking from the feeling of happiness to the knowledge that joy comes from belonging to God, I've been able to start to see more joy around me. As we recognize we all belong to God and are all God's children, we can better see ourselves as siblings in one larger family. I don't know about you, but I've been following the stand that the water protectors have been making in Cannonball, North Dakota over the past eight months. When I heard the news last weekend on December 4th that the Army Corps of Engineers was refusing to grant the permits to build the Dakota Access Pipeline, DAPL, I listened with joy, knowing that the hard work my siblings of the Lakota Nation and others have been putting forth to protect Mother Earth. The video clip that I want to show shows 13-year-old Takota Iron Eyes. She's one of the youth from the Standing Rock Reservation who helped to start the stand back in April, and she describes what's been going on.
Hi. Can you tell me your name and who you are?
My name is Takota Iron Eyes. I'm 13 years old, and I'm from the Standing Rock Reservation.
And you helped start this movement, didn't you? Tell me about that.
This entire movement was brought up by the youth, and it just started so small, and then this entire camp was built, and it was just very powerful to see everybody coming together and living together and praying together and having ceremonies together, and it was just so powerful.
And what just happened?
And now the easement for DAPL was denied.
When?
Like just now.
And how do you feel about that as a 13-year-old who just launched a campaign with your friends and your family?
I feel like I got my future back.
You got your future back, honey?
Oh my God.
Well, you're fighting for your future and a lot of other people's future, too. Thank you.
Yeah. I've probably watched that video 5 or 6 times this week, and I still get teary every time I watch it. Choosing joy. I feel like I have my future back. We are all siblings protecting Mother Earth for generations to come. It takes us all working together. And in the story we heard this morning in Luke 15, we often hear it from the story called the story of the prodigal son. Well, prodigal means having or giving something on a lavish scale. Many scholars will argue that this is actually a more descriptive word for the father. He, father, gives the lavish party to welcome his son back home. He forgives his reckless behavior and runs to meet him, which is culturally a big faux pas. The older person would never run, especially not in public, would never, ever run. So Jesus here is emphasizing the forgiveness and the joy that the Father has for the Son. Thus, I feel it's helpful to call the story of the prodigal father, because the father is the one offering forgiveness and choosing joy that his son has returned to him. The relationship has been restored. Also in Standing Rock this week, after the permit was denied, another remarkable event occurred on Monday, and it gets at today's theme of joy as well. There was a large assembly last weekend of U.S. military veterans from all over the country, thousands, who joined together to show solidarity with the Standing Rock Reservation and be there to literally stand in between the police and the water protectors to protect them, to protect them from the tear gas and the water cannons and the rubber bullets. After the permit was denied, some of the leaders of the military veterans offered their sincere apology to the Lakota Nation, to the leaders, for the atrocities done to the Native Americans throughout U.S. history.
Are from the units that have hurt you over the many years. We came, we fought you, we took your land, we signed treaties that we broke, we stole minerals from your sacred hills, we blasted the faces of our presidents onto your sacred mountain, and we took still more land, and then we took your children, and then we tried to take your language, and we tried to eliminate your language that God gave you and that the Creator gave you. We didn't respect you. We polluted your earth. We've hurt you in so many ways. And we've come to say that we are sorry. We are at your service, and we beg for your forgiveness.
And we're still a nation. We have a language to speak. We have preserved the caretakers of the hemisphere. We do not own the land, the man owned us.
The apology was accepted. Forgiveness was given. And prayers for world peace were offered. They are choosing joy. They're recognizing the connection together. They recognize, the Native Americans recognize, that we all belong to one another and come from the same Creator. The third and final example of joy I found recently comes within our own Ecclesia family. Just before Thanksgiving, a conversation began on Facebook regarding the way that some of our members of the LGBT community have felt welcome or were not welcome as part of our greater Ecclesia community. A long, long conversation thread ended up becoming a potluck. It was a dinner at Curtis's house after Thanksgiving on the 29th, November 29th. That was some of the food that we enjoyed. About 16 of us sat around Curtis's living room, sharing a meal together and having a time to listen, to really listen to one another. It was the first of many conversations to come about how we live out our values here of being a radically inclusive community, and how we are doing all that we can to make sure that our LGBT community members feel safe here, that they feel included here in the full life and mission of Ecclesia. It was a holy and beautiful, joy-filled evening of honest sharing, reflecting with one another, asking questions, and listening with open hearts and minds. Some shared how they had been shunned or excluded from previous church communities because of their orientation, and how refreshing and beautiful it was to find a community here who welcomes them. One person shared how he felt that we were doing okay, but that we still have a long way to go to really get to know one another on a deep personal level. He had committed to having at least one one-on-one coffee or lunch or dinner every month with someone who is very different from him. And he challenged us to do the same. He believes, and I completely agree, that sharing a meal and a heartfelt conversation with someone is an important step to truly get to know one another. One person one person unlike yourself, whether they have a different race or religion or orientation or political viewpoint, whatever it is. We can seek out these opportunities to share a meal together and to get to know one another's hearts. He challenged all of us at that conversation that night to do that, and I challenge us all as well. As I sat and listened, I noticed the tears that were flowing that night as we spoke. I felt the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit that was in the room and among our conversation as we discussed difficult stuff. It's never easy to look at your shortcomings and how someone may have been excluded or unwelcoming. And yet, we held the space for honest sharing and fruitful conversation. I know Curtis and CJ are committed to more of these conversations, more of these meals together. And I hope that you all will take advantage of these opportunities to listen and to learn in community. We are choosing joy as a community by honoring and living into the knowledge that we all belong to God. And God welcomes all of us with open arms and throws a banquet feast in our honor. This Advent season, we light the candles for hope, peace, joy, and love. Today, we light joy. May we choose joy in everything that we do. Choose joy because we belong to God. Amen.